Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is daf Yud. We're on Testament Beis. We're right halfway down the Amud. Continuation of yesterday, obviously. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zecher Nishmas Lo Lupin Zaltzman. Our discussion has been Shemitah, and it has been Yovel. Yovel's really been taking most of yesterday's daf, and the topic of Yovel comes up because, as we've been discussing now, the Masechta, still on the first mission of the Masechta, the question of when is Rosh Hashanah? So four Rosh Hashanahs over the course of this year. We spoke in detail regarding specifically the number four, but Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is what we're up to. So the first day of Tishrei represents the first for a number of things. It represents the first for Shanim, and as we saw in the Gemara just a couple days ago, Shanim could mean one of three possible things. It could be a reference to Shtaros, it could be a reference to Tekufa, that is the that's the when every all the constellations were set into motion, or it could be a reference to Din, a judgment, which is what we traditionally view Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of judgment. The next thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah as far as the first day of Tishrei is Shemitah. It's the beginning of Shemitah, so the Shemitah begins in the first day of Tishrei, and it's going to end on the last day of Elul of that year. And then finally, there are a couple more things coming up, but then we're up to Yovel. So Yovel also begins on the first day of Tishrei. So as we discussed yesterday, the Torah tells us, Parshas Behar, paid attention the last couple of weeks of laning in Kriyas HaTorah. So in Parshas Behar, which was two Shabbats ago, now we're already two, right? We got to split up Behar and Bechukosah this year, made it a little bit easier. But when you go back to Parshas Behar, so you see the Torah says very clearly that you get to the 50th year, and you're going to count. And the count that is the 50th year. We discussed how that's a mitzvah upon Beis Din to formally be Mekadosh, to sanctify the 50th year. So the 50th year now becomes the year of Yovel. What happens in that year? Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz, everything goes back to its original owner. Properties go back to the original owner. Slaves go free. Just like the Shemitah year, also you're not allowed to work the land during the Yovel year as well. The Gemara that we discussed over the course of yesterday, and not the past couple of days, but yesterday's daf dedicated itself to this topic of Yovel. When exactly does Yovel begin? As we learned, that's the Machlokas. Machlokas exactly when Yovel begins. Your two options are, it begins on the 10th day of the year. Why would we entertain that? Well, it's very simple, because the Torah says so. nothing fancy over there. The Torah goes out of its way to say that va'avarta shofar chura b'chodesh hashvi'i, and then you're going to blow the shofar be'esur l'chodesh on the 10th day of the month b'yom kippur. And as if that wasn't clear enough, the Torah says, by the way, the 10th day of the month is Yom Kippur. Take a look at Rashi over there on that pasuk. Rashi on the pasuk deals with the redundancy. Why mention the 10th day and mention Yom Kippur? See Rashi for that. Explanation. Tavir shofar b'chalar tzachem. You're going to blow shofar. B'kidah shemesh nasa chemishim. And you're going to sanctify the 50th year. So one option is that really it begins on the 10th day. So for the first 10 days of this 50th year, it's nothing. I don't even know what to call it. Yeah, it's Shemitah, it's whatever. It's nothing. And then when you get to the 10th day, that's Yovel. That's one option. Or the other option is no. And this is recorded halacha. The other option is no. That really Yovel begins on day one. Meaning once you get into the 50th year, the first day of Tishrei, so that's the first day of Yovel. How do we arrive at that conclusion? Because the Torah says we're staying at the same pasuk. V'kidashtem eis shnas ha'chemishim shana. You're going to sanctify the 50th year, meaning the year in totality, from beginning to end. Well, the year starts on the first day of Tishrei, so that's when it becomes a Yovel year. So then the Gemara asked a question yesterday, so why are we blowing shofar on the 10th day? What does that accomplish? So the Gemara gave an interesting approach, which we kind of understand, but not really, and that is that there's a 10-day transitional period, meaning on the first day of Tishrei, that's the beginning of Yovel. Okay, everyone's free, not to go home, but you're free. Okay, and how do we describe it? You remember yesterday we said this? They're eating, they're sitting, crowns on their head, and they're right rejoicing, and then once Yom Kippur comes, and then they blow the shofar, then everyone goes home. Okay, but that was one big discussion that we had. Yesterday's daf dedicated itself to the big topic of Tosefes, of adding on. There's a requirement to add. And when we have Kodesh, when we have a designated time of Kedusha, so we have to add on to that. So that's true regarding the Shemitah year, on a macro scale, it's true regarding Shabbos, even though obviously that's a smaller unit of time, but that's true regarding every Shabbos, both on the front end and on the back end. It's true regarding Yantiv. It's true regarding Yom Kippur. Okay, so there's this requirement to add more on. So the Gemara says, I might have thought, with all that in mind, I now might have thought that the Yovel year, also there's this idea of extending Yovel. Maybe adding a little bit on the front end, maybe a little, adding a little bit on the back end. That was the discussion yesterday, and the conclusion is no. Yovel's an exception to this general rule, where Yovel we don't add on to the Kedusha. Okay? And then the last thing we discussed yesterday, which we're pretty much ending up right now, on is the triggers of Yovel. What actually is going to trigger the Yovel year? Yovel's interesting. Unlike Shemitah, Shemitah happens. Shemitah, there's no triggers for Shemitah. Shemitah is the seventh year, and Shemitah simply occurs. Okay, nowadays without a Beis Hamikdash, Shemitah may be a Derabbanan, not a Daraisa. Okay, but still though, there's no triggers for Shemitah. For Yovel, there are triggers. The only way that Yovel is going to happen is if we trigger it off. What exactly is going to be the trigger for Yovel? So in the Pesukim, it's not abundantly clear. And I'm going to go look at the Pesukim once again, and then we're going to go back into the daf where we left off yesterday. The Torah says, again, I'm in Parshas Bahar, in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, Perchav Hei. I'll start from Pesach Ches. V'safatecha sheva shabazo shanin sheva shanim sheva pe'amim. You count 7 years, 7 times. V'ayulecha yimei sheva shabazo tashanim teisha v'arabim shana. And then the Torah says, just in case you're not so good with your math, that comes out to 49 years. Ve'havarta shofar chura b'chodesh ha'shvi'i. Now you blow shofar. So that sounds like a trigger. Right? It sounds like the Torah says, in order to effectuate Yovel, so you have to blow shofar. Okay. So ve'havarta shofar chura b'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'sol ha'chodesh b'yom ha'kippurim ta'avir shofar b'chol ha'atzlechem. So number one, we could talk about the blowing of the shofar. Number two, a declaration of freedom. Right? Remember yesterday's daf, we talked about the word dror. The word dror is a reference to emancipation, instructing everyone to let their slaves go home and declare freedom in the land. So that's the so let's call that trigger number two. And that is the declaration of freedom, making sure that people let their slaves go home. Everyone returns home. And then you have to let the land lay fallow. And then, just a little bit more, Bishnasa Yovel Hazos, Tashuva Ishal Chuzaso, V'chistim Kru Memkar L'Misecha. And then the Torah goes on and describes in detail what happens about properties. Properties also return back to the original owner. Okay, let's take a look at our Gemara inside. Our Gemara, we're already in the middle of the Amud. So just to quickly review, we have so far introduced ourselves to two opinions amongst the Tanayim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. If you remember, yesterday's daf, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If you remember in yesterday's daf, we had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the trigger for Yovel? What will activate Yovel? So, shiluach, sending slaves back home, emancipating them from their servitude. By the way, everyone realize that when we say slaves, we're talking about Eved Ivri, we're not talking about Eved Kenani.
Can you refuse?
Huh?
Can you refuse?
An Eved Ivri?
To go
sounds
even
like. I mean, it's an. I mean, can he refuse? I guess it is. Is he violating a mitzvah? To say probably. No. That's saying.
If he doesn't
want
to go
on, okay. Come on, the Amar right? If Kadosh Baruch Hu says something and you don't do it, or okay. Anyway, the. Okay, so number one is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says shiluach is a critical event, which if you are engaged in shiluach, if you tell everyone to go back, you've affected Yovel. If you not, you have not affected Yovel. And then there was the second opinion, that was Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says shofar. Shofar is the activation of Yovel. You don't have to tell everyone to send their slaves back home, even though they need to. And you don't have to tell everybody to let the land lay fallow, even though they need to. But in order for Yovel to be activated, so you have to blow shofar. And remember yesterday we discussed a couple of explanations behind Rav Yossi. First of all, it could be, right, this was one argument of the Gemara, although the Gemara wasn't in love with this argument, it could be that no one's going to have a slave. And so therefore, how can you have an activating device where it may not be? May not be that people can have slaves. So the Gemara didn't love that explanation, but that was one explanation. And the other explanation of the Gemara was, look, shofar, that's up to Beis Din. Beis Din will make the executive decision of blowing shofar. Beis Din will take care of it. So it's we're in much safer ground to view the blowing of the shofar as an activation device, considering the fact that it's up to Beis Din, and Beis Din will in fact take care of it. Okay, that's that was an explanation of Rabbi Yossi. And then the Gemara went back yesterday and explained Rabbi Yehuda, what's behind the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says it's a question of darshanut, meaning when you darshan, you look at the item immediately before the Torah's declaration of Yavohi. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Now we're back in the Gemara, we're in Daf Tesam and Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud, and as I mentioned yesterday, at the end of yesterday's Daf, and now let's say it again now. And who does the halacha follow like? None of the above. Meaning, so we have an opinion of Rav Yehuda, we have an opinion of Rav Yossi, and the halacha accords like neither. And based on the Gemara that's coming up right now, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zu Div Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. What we just saw was the opinion of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Aval Chachamim Amrim. But the Chachamim say, Shloshtam Ma'akvos Bo. You need all three. If you don't have all three, so then Yovel has not been affected. So it's interesting. Again, Yovel is just an interesting phenomena, where Yovel is not just simply an automatic, but in order Yovel to occur, you need three critical factors in order to affect Yovel. Number one, you need to blow shofar. Number two, you have to declare dror, you have to declare freedom in the land so that the slaves go free. And number three, you cannot work the land. So, okay.
But in Chachom, if you're no slaves, I mean, which is a rarity, obviously, but it's possible it won't be a yovel.
Right, possibly. Okay, admittedly. And the Gemara says, and that's the halacha. Shloshtam akvos bo, kasavi mikra nidrash lafanav, v'lifnei panav, ulacharav. So the Gemara says, and as far as the psukim go, so we go in every direction. Meaning we go right in front of the declaration of yovel hi, we go even before that, and we go to immediately what follows that. So again, you look back at the psukim. So again, just to review, the psukim say that you're going to blow shofar. That's pasuk yud. Pasuk tes. V'avarta shofar chura b'chodesh hashi b'tzol chodesh b'yam ha'kipurim. Taviu shofar b'chol ha'tzechem. That's what we're going to call. That's what the Gemara is referencing when it says lifnei panav, meaning that's already a pasuk prior to the word yovel hi. Good. You need to blow shofar. Two. V'kidosh shemishnas chamishim shnas akarasim dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. A declaration of freedom, telling all slaves that they can go back home. That's the second thing you need. Then the Torah says Yovel Hi, and then the Torah says Lo Sizru Velo Sixru Sficha Velo Sifsru Nizirah, and you can't work the land. So, and that comes after the declaration of Yovel Hi. So again, so what the Gemara says is the halacha according to Rav Yochanan is that you need all three. All three are essential in order for Yovel to be affected. The Gemara says V'haksiv Yovel. So the Gemara says, now why does the Torah have to repeat itself and the Torah has to go on to say again, it is Yovel? In other words, it sounds like it's inclusive of something, but we're not including anything. In fact, we're being very exclusionary. Right now, the accepted position is that in order for Yovel to be affected, you need all three. That's a chumra, kula, however you want to say it. But in other words, that seriously limits the halacha. Yovel is not going to be affected until you need all three, so why does the Torah then go on to say, oh, it's Yovel anyway? What does that mean, it's Yovel anyway? It's not. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says Yovel applies even in Chutzaretz. The Gemara says, really? The Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah says in the land. Sounds like Yovel is limited to just Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no. Hahu b'zman she'noeg dror ba'aretz noeg b'chutzaretz. B'zman she'eino noeg ba'aretz, eino noeg b'chutzaretz. When Yovel applies in Eretz Yisrael, so then the effects of Yovel are going to apply even outside of Eretz Yisrael. But when Yovel does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, so then the effects of Yovel does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now, we learned something new today regarding Yovel, at least I did, and that Yovel, in order for Yovel to be affected, so the halacha is, I looked up the Rambam, Pasuk like Rav Yochanan, so the halacha is that in order for Yovel to be affected, in order to have a Yovel status, you actually need three things to occur: the blowing of the shofar, the declaration of freedom, and hashmatas karka, and the laying of the land fallow. That last one, I'm not really sure, meaning, and what if somebody doesn't leave the land fallow? Meaning, are we talking about the majority of the people? I'm not sure about that. But in other words, you need all three in order for Yovel to be effective. Without any one of those three, Yovel has not been put into force.
What's happening in the future?
I don't know. Okay, good. We move on. Okay.
Karkos means going back to the original owner, not actually laying fallow.
Okay. I'll accept that correction. Okay. Fine. Good. I'll accept that correction. I appreciate the correction. Next, Netiyah. Okay. The Gemara that's coming up now. For the most part, it's been smooth sailing in Rosh Hashanah. At least I feel it hasn't been that complicated. Wait till we get to Yevamos if you want complicated. All right, the remainder of Moed, I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. Gemara is never easy, but for the most part, the Gemara's that we're going to be doing from now until the end of Masechta Moed, Seder Moed, I should say, will be relatively straightforward. There's going to be a rough patch in Chagiga. Okay. I'm just thinking now. Second parak, third parak. Okay, but for the most part, however, it's going to be pretty smooth. This daf today, meaning starting right now, going through the rest of today's daf to the end of daf yud, it's going to be a little bit tricky, admittedly. Okay, we'll try our best. I'll try my best to make it clear. But here we begin. We are now discussing another application of Rosh Hashanah Tishrei, and that is Netiyah. Netiyah is the reference to planting of saplings. We are now establishing that the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, meaning that when the sapling hits the first day of Tishrei, it is now entered into its next year. And why is that important, halachically? So the Gemara is about to explain. So the Gemara says, Netiyah minalan dechsiv. So the Gemara says, look, now we go back in Psukim. We were in Parshas Bahar, now we go back to Parshas Kedoshim, and we're in the beginning of Perek Yates, and the Torah just introduces us to the concept of Arlam. Arla, we know that for the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat fruit of a tree that was planted in those 3 years. Somewhat of a misconception, it is not based on the 3 years when the tree starts delivering fruit. It's actually 3 years from the planting. The Torah says, we're in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Gimel, just a brief introduction, V'chisavol ha'aretz, you go into Eretz Yisrael, Natatim Kol Eitz Ma'achal, and you plant trees, V'arla Tem, Arla So, Espirio, and those fruit have the status of being arla. Shalosh shanim, for 3 years, yelachem arelim, those fruit are going to have the arel status. Lo ye achel, cannot be eaten. Do you remember the Gemara in Psachim? The Gemara tells us that not only is there an isser achila, not only you're not allowed to eat the fruit off the arla tree, but in addition to that, there's also an isser hana. There's also a prohibition from benefit as well. The tip-off for that is from the word ye'achel. Ye'achel means not only you're not allowed to eat it, the Torah could have just simply said lo yochel, but ye'achel means not even any benefit as well. Okay, so there's an isra achila, there's an isra hana. Then what happens to v'shana ha'revis, I'm just still in the psukim, just a brief introduction. What about the fourth year? Ye kol piri kodesh hilulim la'Hashem. So during that fourth year, so the fruit becomes sanctified. And then, and what exactly does that mean? So we've seen enough Gemaras to know that fourth year fruit is considered, has the status of Karim Ravai, Neta Ravai, which basically is like Maaser Sheni. That fruit with Kedusha has to be taken. You don't give it to anybody. It's not a Matana. You take it, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it in Yerushalayim, much like you would do with Maaser Sheni. And much like you would do with Maaser Sheni, if you would like, you could actually redeem it. You could be Podet, transfer the Kedusha onto money, take the money at your convenience to Yerushalayim, and spend the money on food in Yerushalayim. That's the fruit of the fourth year. Uvishana HaChamishis. And then you get to the fifth year, Pasuk Chav Hei, Tochlus Piryo, La'osif Lachem Tzvuaso Ani Hashem Elokechem. So you can eat, you're allowed to eat the fruit during the fifth year, meaning from the fifth year and onward, you are good. It's no, there's no restrictions whatsoever about eating the fruit. First 3 years, the fruit are prohibited. By the way, the fruit, not the tree. Tree is fine. We're just speaking specifically about the fruit. So first 3 years, the fruit are prohibited, Isra'achil, Isra'ana. Fourth year, fruit, it has Kedusha, needs to be sanctified. Is sanctified, sorry. If you want, you could redeem the sanctity and eat it, and then the fifth year, it is totally good.
The 3 year clock starts running when you plant
that,
seed.
Or that's today's daf. That's today's daf.
But it sounds from the pasuk that's only if you do. If you buy, let's say, a tree that's already planted, because in that time you will plant. Right?
Yeah, another. You
I'm
have,
saying, but if you didn't plant something.
Well,
else,
we'll talk.
It sounds from the pasuk that it.
We'll be a little bit more specific today about the act of planting. That is a little bit of today's discussion.
No, I'm saying is you have to plant us, or anybody plants it.
It could be anybody.
But it doesn't say that. So until then, you will plant.
Okay.
It sounds like to me.
Could be.
This is on you, not on the.
No. It's an issue. Okay, I hear you. The issue is pretty much primarily on the tree. Okay, Nitiya, here we go. The Gemara begins. Minalan, how do I know this? Dichsiv, the Torah says, Shalosh Shanei Marilim. That for 3 years it's Arel. Ksiv Hashanah Revius. V'yalev Shana Shana Mitishrei. So first of all, how do we know that the year is being marked by Tishrei? So once again, we have that key word of Shana. This is not the first time. I don't even think it's the second time. We've done this already a number of times. Where you see Shana by itself, Shana takes us from Tishrei to the end of Elul. That is our year. Yes, it's true that the Torah uses the word Shana in reference to Nisan, but as the Gemara is about to say right now, that's not Shana by itself, that's Shana plus Chodesh. I don't need to say it, the Gemara is going to say it. So the Gemara says, V'ligmer Shana Shana min Nisan, why not say Shana from Nisan? D'yachsev rishon hu lachem l'chatshe Shana, danim Shana sheini ma'chadashim, mishana sheini ma'chadashim, v'in danim Shana sheini ma'chadashim, mishana sheishi ma'chadashim. It is just simply as we said yesterday, Hedy, I know you didn't love this, but it's a crisper gzeirah shavah, because it's just the word Shana by itself, and it doesn't have the word Chodesh attached to it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. And now here we go. We are now going to have a discussion in the Gemara in terms of how exactly we're going to mark off the year of the Arla tree. These Gemaras are going to be a little bit complicated. I will try to make it clear, but it's going to be a little bit complicated in terms of when we are actually going to be marking off the year. I'll explain to you in the beginning why it's going to be complicated. The reason is very simple. I'm explaining complexity with a simple statement. But the reason why it's complex is because we're going to look at two different dates in terms of marking off the year. Meaning it's going to be, we're going to look at the first of Tishrei, which is basically what the reason why we're here is because we're saying the first of Tishrei is significant to this tree. And then we're going to go to Tu B'Shvat. So we're going to go, and we're going to keep bouncing all back and forth between Tishrei and Tu B'Shvat. And obviously that's a little bit confusing, meaning there's got to be, if we're discussing now when the tree is reaching a halachically significant point, you would like there to be only one point in the year. You don't want there to be 2 points. Once there are 2 points in the year, so then obviously, well, where do I go? Which way am I going? Am I going to Tishrei? Am I going to Tu B'Shvat? That's why the Gemara is going to be a little bit confusing. We'll try our best to make clarity out of it. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa: Echad ha'oteh ve'echad ha'mavrich ve'echad ha'markiv erev shvius shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah alto loshana umuter lekaiman b'shvius. So first of all, when we say planting, doesn't have to specifically be planting. Meaning, planting is the idea that you take a seed and you put it in the ground. That's planting. Again, we're talking about trees right now. No, we're not talking about any other type of vegetation. So you take a seed, you plant in the ground, good. That's planting. Then there's what's called mavrich. Mavrich, if you take a look at Rashi gives a description. Rashi says mavrich is taking a vine coming off the tree and manipulating it, sticking it back into the ground. I'm sure there's a fancy English word for that. And Rashi over here calls it propina.
Layering,
okay? Propina. Propina in Spanish means tax. What is it? What does it mean in French?
Propina means, tip.
Oh, tip. I'm sorry. It means tip. You're right. I'm wrong. Okay, so maybe...
Bye-bye.
No, it's not. It's not the first. The many times. Anyway, no, so maybe it means the tips of? Okay, anyway, whatever the case is, Markiv, right? What does that mean? Again, take a look at Rashi. So, Ilam Bechaver, that's what we would call grafting. Okay? So, any one of these actions, I'm not a tree guy, so I don't know much about this. But if you plant the tree, if you layer the tree, or if you graft the tree, any one of those is viewed as a new planting, even though it is interesting. The Torah is pretty specific in terms of what we're describing. The Torah says, unitatem. So these are added on. Okay. But in the meantime, however, The idea is that if you do it, and you do it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, out the Lo Shana. So that means now, and oh, by the way, I'm sorry, and it's talking about Aner Shvius, on the eve of the sabbatical year. Which and what the Bryce is doing is just introducing another consideration. In other words, there are really two considerations that the Bryce is right now entertaining, really both at the same time. Number one is we want to know how to count the year. Because, as we know, for the first 3 years, fruit that it's going to produce are going to be prohibited. Okay? And then on top of that, there's another consideration in this particular Bryce, which is we're right on the cusp of a Shemitah year. Now, you know you're not allowed to plant during the Shemitah year, and furthermore, we also know, we just did this in yesterday's daf, that there's the idea of being Mosif. We have to add on to the Shemitah year. So, in addition to not planting during the actual Shemitah year itself, but for the Shemitah year, you have to add on. How much would you have to add on? 30 days. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to add on 30 days onto the Shemitah year. You could take a look at the last Rashi, where Rashi makes this point very clear. That is, so already from the first day of Elul, one cannot start planting new plants, even though we're not in the Shemitah year yet. Doesn't matter. The requirement of being Mosif tells us that I can't plant even 30 days prior to the Shemitah year. So, the Braisa says, as long as I get the planting in prior to the 30 days, so I get two checks now. Check number one is that I can now count the 30 days up until Rosh Hashanah as year number one. So that means that after Rosh Hashanah comes and goes, so now we're going to be in year number two. And it's great, because then the following year after that is going to be year number three. So already now, you see where this discussion is going. I get 3 years and only 2 years and 1 month's time. Okay. And again, if I stopped there, that would have been really simple. We're not going to stop there. Okay, but stay tuned. That's coming up in just a moment. Number two, the second check I get is I didn't violate Shemitah. Meaning, because I planted it before 30 days, so therefore I wasn't in violation of planting a tree during the Shemitah year. If I plant a tree during the Shemitah year, what's the halacha? You have to uproot it. You have to take it out. So over here, I get a second check because I planted within 30 days of the previous year. Pachos mishloshim yom, let's go on in the Braisa. But if I planted within 30 days of the year, lifnei Rosh Hashanah lo atal oshana, v'asal kaimam b'shvias. So, if it was a non-Shemitah year, so, okay, so you planted it within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, you're fine, but here's the story. You get to Rosh Hashanah, you don't get to count that as year number two. That's still year number one. In order for it to count as year number two, I have to plant it 30 or more days prior to Rosh Hashanah. Point number two is that if the next year is the Shemitah year, now you're in trouble. You're not in trouble. You have to uproot the tree. Because of this requirement of being most, if you have to add on to the Shemitah year, so therefore I'm not allowed to plant within 30 days of the Shemitah year. So far, so good. That's the first part of the Braisa. Upeiros netiyazeh asurin atu b'shvat. And here comes the confusion. And then the Braisa says, now as far as the fruit is concerned of this tree, it will be prohibited until Tu B'Shvat. Im la'arla arla, im le'revai, revai. And just simply respective of where you are. If you're in the third year, so it has the arla status. If you're in the fourth year, it has the revai status, like I described in the introduction. That means, just give me a moment. Let's see now if we could just simply map this out on the timeline. That means as follows. I planted the tree on 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, good. Let's just say it nice and simple. So that means now, I'll do it like Rashi. Let's even give years. Okay. So we're in the 10th year of the oval cycle. Okay, year 10. I'm using the numbers that Rashi's using. So just so that. If you read Rashi, you'll be able to follow. So let's say I plant in year 10. So I plant in year 10, 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. So year 10 counts now as year 1. Okay, good. Even though you've only experienced 30 days of year 10. It doesn't matter. You count that as year 1. Now you move on to the next year, year 11. Great, that's year 2. Now you move on to the next year, which is year 12. Okay, great, that's year 3. Okay, so now you're in 3 years. Good. So now when 3 years come and go, so now you're in Rosh Hashanah of year 14. Sorry, of year 13. I got to follow my own numbers. Now you're in Rosh Hashanah of year 13. And you would think, great, 3 years have come and gone. The Torah says, I have to wait 3 years. I did wait 3 years. Good. I can eat the fruit. Now, granted, by the way, that if you're now in year four, so then you have to, it has Kedusha, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, fine. But it's not Arl anymore. The point is, it's not Arl anymore. What the Brice is teaching us is, it's still Arla. And it will continue to be Arla until Tu Bishvat. Once you hit Tu Bishvat, so then and only then does it lose its Arla status. Any fruit that blossomed prior to Tu Bishvat is still connected with year three, and therefore it is still Arla. Any fruit that blossoms after Tu Bishvat is Mutter. Now, understood, this is confusing. I'm not ducking. I'm admitting it is confusing. Meaning, even though Rosh Hashanah is the mark of the year that we're in, Rosh Hashanah marked the year one. We had planted 3 days before the first Rosh Hashanah of year 10. Okay, that's year number one. And then the next 2 years are years 2 and 3. Okay, but still, even though I enter into the Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year, it's still, the fruit still has Arla status.
What's the point of the tree? What's the point of counting from?
Yeah, say it.
If you're not going to
okay.
Count,
so just to reiterate Ben's question, and hopefully I'll provide an answer, which will be Rashi's answer. So then the question is, so what's the point of counting Rosh Hashanah and respecting Rosh Hashanah if anyway nothing changes until Tu Bishvat? Rashi asked that very question, and Rashi offers the following answer. Because what Rosh Hashanah allows us to do now is that when we get to Tu Bishvat, we're not going to have to wait till the following Tu Bishvat. Meaning that in terms of the tree, we're marking it really from Rosh Hashanah. Meaning the tree itself gets to be marked 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah number one, that's year one, year two, year three. Now, even though we're quote-unquote in the fourth year now, right? In other words, again, let's call Rosh Hashanah our date, our bookmark. So even though we're year four now, the fruit itself still has year three status, but that year three status doesn't continue for the whole year. It only goes up to Tu Bishvat. If we ignored Rosh Hashanah altogether, so then what I would have to have done is to have to wait until the following Tu Bishvat in order to enjoy it. That's not the case. In other words, the Rosh Hashanah marks the tree in terms of its year, but still, vis-a-vis the fruit, Tu Bishvat is when I'm allowed to eat it. Admittedly, it becomes a little bit complex. It's almost as if, I'll give us another way to view it. It's almost as if that you could be in the fourth year and it's still year three. Or it's almost as if you're in the fifth year and you're in still year four. Now, why do I say it that way? Because I'm foreshadowing the Gemara coming up in just a moment. No, I understand that, but in other words, if Tu Bishvat were the year, so then what we would not be able to do is mark off the calendars like we just did. Well, I planted it before Rosh Hashanah. That first Rosh Hashanah now marks year number two. If I ignore Rosh Hashanah altogether, I'm still in year one.
So call Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat will be 7 months of Tu Bishvat.
Right, good. Yes and no. Because then that first Tu Bishvat now is only going to start year number two. The Tu Bishvat after that is only going to start year number three. In other words, what you've gained in this method, even though this method is complicated, what you gain in this method is you get to eat the fruit from that right from that Tu Bishvat until the next one. The Rashi continually says Chanata, which is usually the blossoming, the description of a blossoming.
But even the fruit is on the tree until after Tu Bishvat,
it's still considered Arla. Correct. That's Rashi. Rashi says that repeatedly in today's daf. Okay, Menahani Mili. Okay, now that we know the halacha, okay, admittedly it's a difficult halacha, but now that we know it, so the Gemara asks a really simple question: where's all this coming from? Meaning. Where's all this coming from? Meaning it's halacha. But can we see it in the Pesukim? So Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amatei ba Mishmei de Rabbi Yana, Amar Kar, the Gemara says, yeah, sure. Uvishana Revi'is, Uvishana Chamishis. Rashi says, what do you have to key in on? Rashi says you have to key in on the Vav. Meaning, again, going back to the Chumash, going back to the Pesukim. The Torah says in description of the third year, Shalosh Shanim Yelachem, Arelim Lo Ye'achel. Uvashana harivias. Now, the way the Torah could be read, remember that we do this in Jewish all the time, where even though the words lo yachel represents the end of the pasuk, but in terms of drasha, you don't have to view it as the end of the pasuk. So the Torah could now be read shalosh anim yelachem arelim lo yachel uvashana harivias. It's arla, and in the fourth year as well, meaning in the fourth year it still is arla, and then we keep going on, and then Kodesh Ilulam Hashem, it's Netar Ravai, Kerem Ravai, Uvashana Chamishis, and in the fifth year as well. So in other words, you could be already into the next year, but still, in the fourth year could be the third, in the fifth year could be the fourth. The Gemara says, if Shana Reviz, Shana Chamishis, Pa'amim Shebe Reviz, Vadayna Sura, Mishem Arla, so you can be in the fourth year and it's still Arla, Pa'amim Shebe Chamisha, Vadayna Sura, you could be in the fifth year and it's still going to be prohibited, Mishum Ravai, because of the prohibition of Ravai. Okay, so that's a way to see it in the Pesukim themselves. Good. So just quickly, review, summary statement. So, I plant a tree 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. When I say Rosh Hashanah, I mean Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. I plant a tree 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. That goes as year number one. The next year is year number two. The next year is year number three. Now you have celebrated your third Rosh Hashanah with this tree. Now, what are you doing? You're entering into the fourth year. Good. The fruit is still Arla. And the fruit will continue to be Arla until Tu B'Shvat. And only the fruit that blossom on the tree after Tu B'Shvat, only that fruit is going to be permitted. Prior to that, it's still going to have the status of Arla. So it's true that we did get to look at 30 days as a whole year. So you could have argued that the Arla is only going to be 2 years and 1 month, but based on the drasha that we just did, it's not accurate. It's not 2 years and 1 month. It would be a minimum of 2 years and from Tishrei to Tu B'Shvat. What is that? That's another 4.5 months. Okay, so good. So it's another 4.5 months to add on to that. Okay, now the Gemara says, Lema d'lo k'Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go to the front end of our discussion, where we said, clearly, that 30 days is considered a full year. The Gemara says, you know, I don't think that accords with Rabbi Meir. Di Rabbi Meir, ha'amar yom ha'cha b'shana chashashana. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that just simply one day is considered an entire year. The Italian, the Gemara says, look at the following braisa. And now, it happens to be that we've already made this point earlier in the Masechta, that one day is considered a year, right? We said that in terms of a king. In other words, that the king is coronated, as long as he's coronated before the first day of Nisan, so that already he already has the status of having been a king for a year. Short year, uneventful year, hopefully, but a year. So the Gemara says, the fact that we're planting the tree 30 days prior, and if we're not planting the tree 30 days prior, we don't count that as a year. So the Gemara says, that's not going like Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, we see this Rabbi Meir in another context as well. Par hamor b'tor stam ben esrim v'arba chodesh v'yam echad. Div Rabbi Meir. We know that animals that are brought as a carbon have to be within a certain age. Okay, certain animals just simply are assumed to have to be within a certain age. Just the part that, hopefully, let me try to unconfuse. We say our age, right? I'm 30 years of age. That usually means, not usually, it means I completed 30 years on this earth. Right? You celebrate your fifth birthday, it means I successfully made it through 5 years of on this planet. In from the Torah's perspective, when the Torah demands that an animal be a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, it means you're in your first year, you're in your second year, you're in your third year. So the Gemara says, so, vis-a-vis a par, par has to be a three-year-old, but again, three-year-old meaning in their three-year, so, par hamor b'tor estam ben esrim, tar hamor b'tor estam ben esrim v'arba chodesh v'yam echad, div Rabbi Meir. So our Meir says 24 months and a day. In other words, 2 years and 1 day. Rabbi Lazar Omer ben Esrim v'arba chodesh v'lamed yom. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, 24 months and another 30 days. In order to say that you're into your third year, you have to have gone through 30 days into your third year. And Rabbi Meir says, no, you only have to have gone 1 day into your third year. So what do you say? Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer, kol malkum shenemar egal b'tara, stam ben shana, ben bakar, ben shtayim. Par ben shalosh. Because we know that generally speaking, when the Torah demands an eagle, eagle's a calf. It's a one-year-old. Ben bakar, that is a two-year-old. And a par is a three-year-old. But in other words, but now we know that the numbers 1, 2, and 3 mean you're into. What does that mean, into? So according to Rabbi Meir, one day into your third year. Okay, good. So now the Gemara is bothered by the fact that in terms of our law, in order for that tree to be considered part of year number 1, it had to have been planted 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. So that sounds like the author of that brace is not going like Rabbi Meir. Again, is that the end of the world? Of course not. But the Gemara would like to try to synthesize. I feel it, Rabbi Meir. Ki kama Rabbi Meir yom echad b'shana chashu shana b'sof shana. Ava b'tchilas shana lo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can make a distinction. Yes, it's true that Rabbi Meir says that one day is considered a year, but that's at the end, not at the beginning. That's what the Gemara now is suggesting. The Gemara is going to patently reject such a suggestion. Ama Rava v'lav kavachomerhu. Rava says, no. In fact, not only no, but logically speaking, it simply does not work. And the Gemara says, and let's take a look at this from the perspective of a nida. Now, again, let's write some introduction and some cautionary tale. We're going to be discussing the status of a nida, but we're not discussing at all halacha lamaisa, because halacha lamaisa, everything has changed. We don't subscribe to the halachas of nida min haTorah. There's a lot of chumras that were added on. Chumras mentioned in the Gemara, Rabbi Zera's chumra. But right now, we're just going to be dealing. So we're just looking strictly at the halacha min haTorah. What is the halacha min haTorah? A woman when she starts bleeding is a nida. And she continues to be a nida for the next 7 days, regardless of whether she bleeds or she does not bleed. She could bleed 1 day, 2 days, 5 days. She could bleed all 7 days. As long as there is a cessation of bleeding on the seventh day, so she will tovel. When? That night. Meaning the night of the eighth day. So that is the status of a nida min haTorah. Now, in terms of counting the days, so it's a 7 day period. That 7 day period that we're counting. Day one, let's say she starts bleeding in the morning. That counts as day one. Let's say she starts bleeding in the afternoon. That counts as day one. Let's say she starts bleeding 2 minutes before Shkia Sachama. That's still day one. Meaning that when we talk about day one of her Nida status, so it does not have to be an entirety of a day. It could be a portion of a day. It could be even the smallest fraction of a day. That doesn't matter. Now, when we move to day seven of the Nida, what do we say? Right? Can she tovel in the mikvah? In other words, let's say she stopped bleeding in the morning. Can we call that day seven? Not yet. How about she bled if she stopped bleeding in the afternoon? Can we call that day seven? Again, not yet. In other words, she must wait the entirety of day seven. So on day one, you can cut into day one significantly. You only need a small fraction of day one. Day seven, you can't cut into that at all. The only way to be able to count day seven is only by having the full day seven. Okay, that is a nida min haTorah. Again, everything I'm saying in terms of halacha lamaisa, ignore. Okay, I'm telling you to ignore me. So it works. But in the meantime, however, just from a conceptual standpoint, now let's understand. So where's the argument that Rav is generating? So let's see that now again inside in the Gemara. Uma nida. I'm just reading Rav again. Uma nida she'ein tchilas hayom olala. Besofa, sofa yom, olala b'tchilasa. So when it comes to anida, where the beginning of the day doesn't help at the end, meaning at the end we're not ready to make any consideration. But sofa yom olala b'tchilasa. But meanwhile, you go to the beginning of anida status, where just even a fraction of that day counts. Shana. So now let's talk about that in the scope of a year, like what we're describing. Yom echad olala b'sofa. So now I have our animal that went through 2 years, and one day at the end of the 2 years. And what do we say? Good. That counts as a year. So now, eino din shi yom echad olala b'tchilasa. So if we're able to cut at the end, don't you think that we can cut in the beginning? By a nida. We don't do any type of cutting at the end, even though we're able to cut a little bit in the beginning. So by a year, if we're cutting at the end, for sure we're allowed to cut in the beginning. Okay, that's the argument of Rava. So this idea that we're making a distinction, oh, you know, Rabbi Meir says that a day is considered a year, that's only at the end, but not at the beginning. You see from Nida, that's not true. In fact, just the opposite.
So according to Meir, Nagel will be one day.
Right. Yeah, but I understand. But, yeah, but then we have the 8-day period.
Oh, yeah,
but okay, point well taken. So the Gemara says, okay. So the author of the Braitha regarding Arla is not going like Rabbi Meir. You want to argue that? Okay, maybe you can argue that, which the Gemara is right now in the middle of doing, because Rabbi Meir says that even one day is considered a year. So then, what's the alternative? The alternative is it's going like Rabbi Lazar, which kind of makes sense. Because Rav Elazar says, vis-a-vis an animal, what is considered a year? 30 days is considered a year. I need my par to be a three-year-old? No problem. 2 years and 30 days? It's now a three-year-old. Okay? The Gemara says, but I'm not so sure, that the author of the Arla Braisa is Rav Elazar. Why? So the Gemara says, my Rav Elazar shloshim u'shloshim bayim. So then the Gemara says, if the author of the Braisa is Rav Elazar, excuse me, I don't need 30 days. I need 30 plus 30. Now, and how do I know that? The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ein notim ein marvichim ein markivan erev shviyas pachos milam yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. You cannot plant or layer or graft on the eve of the Shemitah year less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. V'im not v'ivrich v'hirkiv ya'akor. And if you do so, you got to uproot it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, or Rabbi Yehuda, okay, I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol arkava she'enu koletes begimel yamim shuv enu koletes. Oh, it is Rabbi Yehuda. I do know. Okay, I see. So the any grafting that that doesn't take root within 3 days will never take root. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omer shtei shabbosos, and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say it takes 2 weeks for it to take root. The Amar of Nachman Amar Rava Baravula Divra Omer Lamed Tsarich Lamed Ushloshim. So now the Gemara says like this. Okay. And here basically now the Gemara is going to introduce another factor, which when the Gemara started the discussion did not entertain, and now the Gemara is entertaining. Meaning, what have we been saying? That prior to the Shemitah year, I got to plant the tree 30 days prior to the Shemitah year. And the reason why is twofold. Remember the two checks that we discussed in the beginning of today's daf. Number one, because I'm not allowed to plant trees during the Shemitah year. And on top of that, there's also an additional 30-day period because of Tosefes. Furthermore, just in terms of counting the tree, if I'm going to count the tree and count it as year number one, I have to plant it within a certain time prior to the Rosh Hashanah, which we said is 30 days. But now the Gemara says, let's take one more thing into consideration. You plant a tree on day one. Can you call that tree planted? Meaning, the planting of a tree needs to take root in the ground. So the Gemara says that really the truth of the matter is that there's a totally different consideration or an additional consideration, which we haven't been entertaining up until this point in time, and that is for the tree to take root. Planting of the tree just doesn't simply physically mean taking the seed and putting it in the ground. Planting of the tree means the tree is here and ready to grow, meaning it has taken root. How long does it take for a tree to take root? So as we're seeing now in the Gemara, three-way machlokas. Either your choices are 3 days, 30 days, 3 days, or 2 weeks. Those are your choices. By the way, the Rambam goes with the, I looked up the Rambam also yesterday, had a productive afternoon yesterday. So the Rambam goes like 2 weeks. So the Rambam writes, in conclusion, I know it's not the right time to conclude, but the Rambam says that in order for a tree to be planted before Shemitah, you have to plant it 44 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks for it to take root, and then another 30, and then you're within now the 30 days of the Shemitah. So anyway, so let's just see this again in the Gemara, and we'll finish up. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvu, L'divra Omer Lamed, Tzarech Lamed, U'shloshim. L'divra Omer Shlosha, Tzarech Shlosha, U'shloshim. And L'divra Omer Be'i Shabbosos, Tzarech Shtei Shabbosos, U'shloshim Yom. So the Gemara says, so now, what do we have? So now we have the following. Really now, we're like at a little bit of an impasse in terms of understanding. Meaning, the Braisa said, you plant the tree before 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, you're good. So the Gemara says it can't be going like Rav Meir. You're right, it can't be going like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says it's only one day. But then your other option is it's going like Rav Elazar. Even according to Rav Elazar, you can't plant the tree just 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. It hasn't taken root yet. So So the Gemara says, so now we're at an impasse. So who is it going like? So the Gemara says, the Inamika Rav Yehuda's Rilei, Gimel V'Shloshim Bayi. And even if you want to tell me it's going like Rav Yehuda, meaning the Shita who holds that it only takes 3 days for it to take root, but still, that's 3 days. That's 3 plus 30, that's 33 days. So the Gemara says as follows. So now that we've taken everything into consideration, we're back to our original question. Who is the author of that brisa regarding Arla? So La'olam Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara suggests that really the author of that brisa is Rabbi Meir. V'chi kamar lamin l'klita. So the Gemara says, and when he talks about 30 days, it means 30 days for it to take root. I'hachi lamed aleph bay. So the Gemara says, well, that means 30 days to take root, and then 1 day for it to be considered a year. So the Gemara says, okay, it's better, but it's still imprecise. Because 30 days to take root, and 1 day for it to count as a year, that's 30 plus 1. That's 31. So the Gemara says, Yihach lamed alf bay, kasavar yom lamed ola lakan ulakan. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we can argue. We can argue that on the 30th day, we get to double dip. Okay, accountants enjoy. So what we get to do is that when, according to Rabbi Meir, when we get to day 30, we can now make two arguments. Number one, this is the 30th day in which now it officially has taken root, and being that it's also officially the day that it's taken root, we can also count this as 1 day towards the Arla cycle, and we can count that as a year. So again, now the Gemara, that was complicated. So we had a Brisa, the Brisa says that when I plant a tree 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, we get to count that as a year, and you also got it in before Shemitah, so you don't have to uproot it. Who's the author of that Brisa? So the Gemara says the author of that Brisa is Rabbi Meir. How does it come out to be Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says that in order to count for a year, you only need 1 day. 1 day counts for a year. We've seen that multiple times in our Masech, that we get to see that again. And in terms of, so then why 30 days? So we need 30 days because 30 days for it to take root. 30 days for it to take root. 1 day for it to be counted as a year. Shouldn't that require 31? The Gemara says no, because the 30th day we get to count twice, as the 30th day of taking root, and also as day one for the day one slash year one in terms of Arla. In terms of the Halacha, now we get to say it, and in terms of the Halacha, so we don't fall like Rabbi Meir. Actually, in terms of the Halacha, the Rambam says, I need 44 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that it takes 2 weeks for a tree to take root, and then furthermore, we need 30 days, because we are of the opinion that 30 days counts as a year, not a day. Okay, Ad Kan. That's going to be our stopping point. Tomorrow, big discussion coming up tomorrow. When was the world created? Tishrei or...